Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Atlanta, happy Friday. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is here. Mike is supposed to be nice and warm, like you were talking about a few days ago. So hopefully, you know, you get out a chance, get out and enjoy a little bit of this weather, man. We got a big show today. Our tight end, Hayden Hurst, is going to stop by in about an hour. Hayden's got a great event going on. We've been promoting it on our radio station. You guys have been hearing. But, Mike, we want to talk about, you know, new coach, offseason, what's this offense going to mean for him? So hopefully we'll get some input from Hayden Hurst coming up in about an hour. But as we get the show started today, man, how about an extension for our manager, Brian Snicker?
Yeah, man. You and I were always debating: is he going to stick around? Would he be the gap manager? Remember that conversation? Because he's the guy. Hey, look, I think, and I'm guilty as charged. Like any fan, Carl, if you're watching a baseball team more than 100 games a year, you're going to find issues with leaving a pitcher in too long, or in Snicker's case, maybe pulling a pitcher too soon. That aside, when you think about especially the last couple of years, without having a full pitching staff going back and not having to think about the platoons and the different lineups he had to put together, this guy has certainly exceeded all of our expectations, and good for Snit, man. He certainly deserves it.
Yeah, you know, I thought he should have won Manager of the Year last year, and I wasn't being biased based on what he was able to accomplish, and again, winning the division. It didn't happen. In the big scheme of things, I know all these guys would give all these awards up, right, if we could win a World Series, because that's what it's all about. But I will say this, you know, this is an extension now that's going to take him to, what, 2024 or something like that? And Mike, I do think, as we talk about our Falcons, this is our window with the Braves as well. I mean, we are right now in the realm. Now, I don't know how long this is going to last with the Braves because baseball is a little different. You know, we got all our young guys in their prime. The subs, as far as, you know, how you supplemented this roster has helped with Double A and his moves. But I got to believe that between now and the time that Brian Snicker is no longer the manager here, we hopefully will have won a World Series, right?
Well, look, everybody knows the Dodgers are going to be loaded up. As you guys know, the pitching staff's insane. Let's just assume, and I hope that we got to assume, that, again, Ian Anderson will continue to be brilliant. All the young arms will kind of do a do-over what we saw in the early 90s with Smoltz, Glavine, and Avery, and then later on we added Maddox. We're hoping we got that. Charlie Morton is a great addition. Smiley, we'll see if he can continue what he did in San Francisco. But we're certainly got more depth. And Cole Hamels, as we know, was just that was nothing. So now we feel we got more guys, Carl, more arms. We won't have to start a relief pitcher if we get to an elimination game. And, of course, we always trust Double A to do something at the trade deadline. I'm not bitching about the pitching. Look at that. I'm a poet on a Friday. Hey, Mike Bell here. I ain't bitching about the pitching. Call Trace Atkins. I think we got a song. But anyway, I'm okay with it. I mean, I think knowing the limitations that the Braves have but don't have, it's not bad.
All right, man. What do you guys think, by the way? And I'm curious. You know, I don't think a lot of people necessarily don't think that this is a good move by tying up Brian Snicker for a few more years. It is a club option for 2024, but 2023. So, you know, just a few more years. But I would assume that if we're winning and we are in the playoffs the next few years, that, again, at his affordable price, and I think this is important, okay, we all want the big-time manager to come in and take us to the next step. But with his affordable price, I don't see why the club wouldn't pick up the club option unless things just simply fell apart and we're not able to break through. We cannot get back to the NLCS, Mike, have a 3-1 lead and blow it. Okay?
That's correct.
We can't get to the World Series, and all of a sudden, well, you know, and I use that because that's what Snell always says. Well, you know, we can't be there. So if we get to those moments while he's still our manager, those are the moments that are really going to define whether he's here in 2023 or 2024, because at that point you say the club is good enough. We've been doing this. What are we missing? And that's when potentially, and again, I'm not trying to run him out of town. I'm just laying this out for you guys. That's when a team or an organization says, okay, you know what? Maybe we need to look elsewhere. But I love Snit. I love his attitude and how he's taken on this team. Right guy for this team when all the young guys were coming out of the minor leagues, Mike. He was the perfect manager, and I think it's a good fit for our Braves.
Right. I mean, look, you know, I think you agree with me because you've did a lot. Carl's covered baseball and been at more clubhouse than I have, but I think sometimes a manager can screw things up. I think some cases, if you got the talent, you know, I mean, obviously, it really, you're out of the microscope in the postseason like any skipper, but I think in some cases, you know, you can overthink it, you can get too cute with it. I mean, you look at some of the managers who've come and gone in this division in the last couple of years. So, I mean, in Philadelphia and everything else. So, I think, yeah, he's the right guy. Like, he's never going to win a press conference. He is like Bobby Cox
in
that sense.
I mean, you know. You know?
I mean, but that's what they want, and it works. So, why mess with it? And it's not like he went to management like in Moneyball when Art Howe, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, said, I'm a lame duck manager. You got to give me an extension. This wasn't the case. I think it's perfect. It's not too little. It's like it's Goldilocks. It's just right.
And by the way, his age, you know, managers, we know this. Who just came back? Tommy Lasorda? Is it Lasorda who came back? Who just came back?
Oh, no, Lasorda's up in heaven with my dad, Tony La Russa.
La Russa, thank you. Yeah. He just came, and he's pushing, what, 80, 75 or whatever? Somebody just said, in Snicker, an older guy. Yes, he's 64, but in baseball, managers can do this, all right?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not like he's out there, like, running around. He sits and he spits sunflower seeds, and he talks to his pitching coach who's running the bullpen. That's it. It's not that complicated, guys. Yeah, he's 65. He'll be 66 in October.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about the age thing. And, again, they didn't extend him for 10 years. It's just a few more years. All right, your thoughts, guys, 404-741-0929. And maybe you're on the other side of this. Maybe you say, you know what? We got a really good club, and over the last few years, Snicker hasn't shown me that he can take us to the promised land. Last year, you could look at that and say, was that his fault? Was it the manager's fault that he looked to the bullpen, he looked to his starters and went, this is what I got to work with? I mean, you can only throw out there the guys that you're given. So I am a little bit more lenient last year. I think, you know, when you look at who was he going to give the ball to in a pivotal game, when you don't have the studs. So I know people blame that on Snicker and say, oh, he should have did a better job of managing. We knew a bullpen game was coming, and we got it.
Look, Snicker's not out there running the bases in Game 7. You know, the pitching, it's above his pay grade. They didn't invest in enough pitching to have depth in the offseason. So we were jammed up and had to start a reliever, Minter, in a game where we could have eliminated the Dodgers, had him on the ropes. And by Game 6 and 7, we lost all the momentum. But that's not on Snit. I mean, like, as we said, he's done some amazing jobs, especially as this team, the first year they won the division, the year they lost to the Dodgers, NLDS. That's an unbelievable job, Carl, of rotating so many different guys, so many different lineups that season. You know, so I'm not going to kill the guy. And by the way, here's the other thing. I could go off on the Braves. There's no point in bellyaching about something. It's never going to happen. The Braves don't go outside the family. They would never call a guy like Joe Maddon. They would never call another manager from another team. It's always going to be in-house. That's just the Braves' way. I'm done bellyaching about it. That's it. If you think there's another guy. And by the way, Maddon, he nearly managed the Cubs out of the World Series.
Sure did.
You know, so, I mean, you can look. I was down in Miami when came down from the Pirates? Jim
Leland.
And that's another guy who had some tight moments. So, I mean, over the course of baseball, and look, Tony La Russa, by the way, I don't know if he's the gold standard. How many times did the A's with the best lineup in baseball get beat in the early 90s? Or they lost to the Dodgers, they lost to the Reds. So you can pick apart any manager, Carl. I mean, I guess that's the point I'm getting to. And the Braves are never going to go out of in their own shop to find a manager. So this makes perfect sense.
Let me ask you this. That is an interesting question. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Find us, guys, social media. We are live on Twitch each and every day. You can find us, ATL 92.9 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and of course this radio station, follow us, 929 The Game, and we're on the gram as well, Dukes and Bell 929. Were you surprised they went and got Double A? after all the stuff that happened with Coppolella, because you bring this up about the manager. Now, right. I say that because he was not a part of this Braves organization. He was not a homegrown guy. They went outside and got him.
But don't you think when the well is poisoned, you got to do that?
Okay.
I mean, the point being that Coppolella and other guys in that organization.
Yeah, you couldn't bring up one of his guys.
Correct.
Yes. Right. Okay. And I just, it's interesting you say that. I don't know if that will happen as far as if it ever happens, you know, if we need to go outside of the organization. That's under the assumption, again, that we're not achieving what we should be achieving. This team is set up to win. Snicker now has an extension. The only thing we're waiting for, Mike, when it comes to our team is, you going to take care of Freddie?
Right.
When are you going to take care of Freddie? So at that point, and again, I don't know if Freddie's in any rush. I don't know how, maybe they have an under, you know, the table handshake. And I say that loosely because it is a business, but maybe Freddie's like, look, let's make sure we got everything we need to win. I know I'm going to get mine, and we'll move forward. Maybe that's what's been said, but either way, that's the only thing I'm waiting on. I mean, outside of that, everything else has pretty much been taken care of, and we'll see what they do with this allotment of money that AA said they put aside to, you know, for other signings potentially, which have not happened yet.
Right. So, again, we were told, as you said, it's going to happen. There won't be any big pomp about it. I mean, I think if I'm Freddie, I don't we all want to be wanted? Just what J.J. Watt's going through right now with his little free agent sort of like right now virtual tour. I'm not saying that Freddie wouldn't just take the deal. I think Braves fans just kind of take Freddie for granted. But, you know, I mean, the Angels would be interested, and they throw some money at him. So I think you don't limit your – even a guy like Freddie, I don't think your agent limits your opportunities here, do you?
No. And listen – Mike, you only go around this way once. Freddie is now an MVP. So I think, again, he wants to be paid accordingly. They had him on the cheap for the last 5 years. Let's be honest. For what he's done, he's been in MVP races. I just think they got him on the cheap for the last few years. Now, okay, take care of him. Pay him the going rate. And if that's, well, it is, 25 to 30 a year, okay, which is what Freddie's going to command, then take care of him. And I think that's, you know, they got to figure that out. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It is a hashtag. Dukes and Bell tailgate at home on a Friday. Hayden Hurst is going to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. Also, we'll get a chance to talk to Steve Coonan. Hawks back in action tonight as well against Oklahoma City. And if you missed our interview with Clint Capela yesterday, we'll play some of that for you. As we ask Clint something Mike's been asking, why are you not in these games late? Is that you or is it Lloyd Pierce? Wait till you hear his answer on that. You'll hear it coming up next. Coming up, Hayden Hurst is going to join us. Tight end for our Atlanta Hawks. And the Hurst Foundation, Family Foundation, is putting on their annual golf event. That's happening March 29th. We'll ask him about that, which is always cool to give back to the community. But you guys know Hayden's been very outspoken about his experience, what he went through, and trying to help others. There was a moment during the season where, you know, he acknowledges before Dak Prescott got hurt early. That was early in the season. Dak sharing his moments, you know, with his brother's situation and suicide. So very cool, man. We like Hayden Hurst from day one. He came on our show, Mike, early on, right after the deal went down. And we both said, you know, this guy, it could be a big player in this offense. I don't think we used him enough last year. You?
No, and again, the good news is that's all gone. You're giving me Dirk Cutter flashbacks on a Friday. I just want to have a cocktail and enjoy myself. But, yeah, man, I mean, go figure. You know, the play calling, the lack of dynamic play calling, or sometimes not using the best tools for the job. Sometimes it's the other tight end. I don't know. But I'm with you. Hayden Hurst, when they got him the rock or made an effort to, like in the Cowboys, I mean, the guy makes plays. The cool thing is we got so many options. I think Dirk maybe sometimes got lost or forgot. I don't know. But, yes, to your point, he can do even more, brother. And I don't think we had any fall off from Austin Hooper. Do you?
No.
I mean, it was mutually beneficial. Hooper got paid, went to Cleveland, and we got a guy. You know, and we like the guy we got now, too.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Hayden coming up here in just a bit. Let's talk about our Hawks. Oklahoma City tonight, 8 o'clock tip, by the way. And you can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then over the weekend, you got the Heat, and then you look to next week. You got Orlando, the last, I think it's at Orlando on Wednesday. And then I've got to look at the second half of the schedule, which actually starts the March 4th. But then you got the All-Star weekend. It'd be nice to run off a few here, Mike. I mean, we got a good win against the Celtics. You beat OKC. All of a sudden, can we go on a 3-4-5 game winning streak? Is that too much to ask?
Well, that's the question. You and I have been saying it all. You know, we thought we were going to get off to a run after beating the Celtics, you know, and then that didn't work out. Last time, we do beat the Celtics this time. I'd like to see them, you know, have some momentum. Do the Gallinari thing was awesome. Everybody was talking about that, buzzing about the unbelievable night, franchise record for threes. Now you're on the road, and you talked about it. You know, there's a bunch of road games, especially in the second half. We got a much, you'd argue, tougher part of the schedule. Can't wait till DeAndre Hunter gets back. But, you know, if Bogdanović, who is showing signs of life, at least, you know, starting to do more practicing and get him out there, Carl. You know, we had enough, on paper, we got enough talent to certainly make the 7 or 8 seed in the East.
All right, let's hear from Clint Capella, guys. He joined us late in the show yesterday. Our center's been balling out. Leads the league in rebounding. I mean, he's just been incredible and exactly what I think our team needed. But one of the things that Mike has talked about, and I think some fans have wondered, is why is he not in the game late, especially with defense being the issue, like the other night with the Cavs game, right? And he wasn't in there. But we could go through the list of games we lost at the end where he hadn't been in games. We asked him that question, and I want you to listen to what he said, because I asked him, is it because you, or is it because the rotation and the coach is not putting you in? What's going on?
I don't know. It's just whenever some games – it's been some games where I finished them, so it's just the decisions that they're making, and all I can do is just be ready if my name is called to go out there and help my team win.
Mike, he was really hesitant there.
Well, again, you know, he's been with the Rockets and now with us just for his first full season, he's a pro. He knows how to answer media questions. And I think you could hear in the hesitation and maybe read a little bit between the lines that, yeah, he's as confused about it as we are. You know, I mean, if especially, look, the other night, it was not even a concern about him getting fouled. It was a concern about him being there as a rim protector because Trey took the shot with too much time on the clock. And we didn't have a timeout. I mean, in some cases, the circumstances conspire against you because, you know, Lloyd Pierce sometimes uses timeouts when he shouldn't. I don't know. But didn't you get the vibe, though? He's kind of like, yeah, I'd kind of like to be out there doing my job late, too.
That's what I got. I mean, you guys know me. I try to take comments for what they are. You know, I'd love to be able to look Clint in the eye and say, what's going on? We can't do that right now. But when asked the question, he knows what's going on. Play it again for me.
I don't know.
Okay, stop it right there. Stop it right there. That's all we need to know.
Some games, it's been some games where I finished them.
You can stop it. That's all we need to know. I mean, it shouldn't even be that. Clint, why aren't you in the game late? Man, you know what? My shoulder's been bothering me. Hey, coach said he's going to work me in as much as he can. He didn't say that. Like, we keep thinking about, or is it injury related? So, to me, that was one of the most interesting answers, Mike. We'll see as the season goes on what happens. If you think he's a liability at the free throw line and all that stuff, we got to work through that because he's just too good on defense to not have him out there in late game situations. He went on to talk about John Collins. And I think this is important because for those of you who don't think that John Collins, he ain't a match, dude. I think it's about working. And you work and work, and hopefully you get better and you continue to grow. Listen to what Clint Capella says about JC.
Man, I love John. Man, he's working so hard. Man, every day, every time, like, I'm coming the next day to get tested. And, like, I remember that day I came after the next day after a game. We were supposed to be off. I come in and get tested, and I hear someone lifting in the weight room. Like, oh, I'm like, what? Like, it's early. Who's that? I'm coming. I see John. I'm like, oh my God, JC, man, you crazy. He's just insane. You work so hard. Like, it's just crazy. I just love his motor, man. He's always working hard. He's always ready to just bring some energy. Just whatever the team needs, he's bringing it. And I love that about him.
So, again, Mike's been talking about the market, what it is. You know, when we say, because I've said this, I don't think Dak Prescott is a $40 million quarterback. Mm-hmm. Guess what the Cowboys are going to have to do? They're going to have to pay him $40 million. That's what the going rate is. So, whatever you think about John Collins, Mike, my point is I'd rather hear this from a teammate than, yeah, man, I hardly ever see John at practice. You know, I mean, I'd rather hear this. I get there and this dude's already in the weight room working out. I think John Collins, I'm hoping he's going to be here, but he's putting in the work to try to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We talk about this all the time with the listeners about, you just laid it out. Yes, max contract is like a phrase. Maybe it makes the hair on the back of people's necks stand up. Like, they expect a certain kind of guy. And when they see a guy, you know, in the middle, I don't know, maybe Hawks fans think the guy should look like Tree Rollins or something. I don't know. But, John, you know, it's the new NBA. You know, it's outside for a three, you know. And I get it. I get flashbacks, Al Horford, too. But I think if you lose this guy, that's not how this thing's supposed to work. He's supposed to be there for the long haul. He was a steal where he was picked up. I'm over it now. I'll never get over losing that money that year, but I'm over the suspension. Yeah. But, you know, and it's great to hear from Clint that the guy is in there doing the work, man. And that's what I think all fans want to hear, that.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about our interview with Clint Capella. It's online. It's full version at radio.com if you want to go check it out. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Also, Hayden Hurst on the way in about 30 minutes. We asked Clint Capella about leadership on this team. Do you think that's an issue, by the way? Do you think leadership is an issue with our team?
I think I don't want to quantify it as, you know, Trey, it's Trey's team. And Trey has still got to learn. He's still learning, you know, when to hit the gas and take the shot. Unfortunately, from the other night, shots weren't dropping. Not the most recent game, the night before. But, you know, Carl, just when to facilitate, when to, you know, hey, I'm feeling it. You are a star. You take that shot. He's going to learn that. I think that's still an experience. We'll talk to Steve Kuhn about that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But I don't think so. And you heard Capella talking about the team meeting, the famous team meeting with the Athletic article. And was that a big deal? And he says, no, it happens all the time.
Who are the team leaders? He says when he's on the floor, he's trying to lead. It is?
Yeah, there's a couple of vets. Defensive on the court, I'm definitely the guy who's talking behind the defense. And whenever we're not doing our job defensively, I like to definitely say something on the bench or on the court. And, Solomon Hill, for the whole year since he got here, has been tremendous for us and with his voice and it's been really, really huge for us.
So Solomon Hill, again, we have guys, Bogey when he's available, you know, Gallinari. These guys have been around the NBA. That was Rondo. These guys have been around the NBA. So I don't think that's the issue. How to finish games and learning how to win, that's a whole other conversation versus are you getting the leadership on the floor that you need if you're the Atlanta Hawks. Last but not least, how do we win those last, you know, minute games with the game on the line, on the fringe there, and what are we doing? And Clint Capella talked about the character of this team and building.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right about that. The thing about this NBA season is that you have to deal with injuries during the season. I think every NBA team has to go through that. And this is how you got to build your character. And this is how the team builds their own character. And, you know, you just have to fight through it, man. There is no choice. And we're going to have those guys back. We definitely need them. And I'm sure they're going to be back in no time. So hopefully we can hold on until they come back.
There you go. What you and I have been talking about. Keep your head above water. Fight for those final playoff spots and take that next step with this team. This team spent this money in the offseason for this team to go to the playoffs, and he's just touching on it. You know, you're dealing with some stuff. Other teams are dealing with some stuff. LeBron and the Lakers are dealing with some stuff. But you know, they've been there and done that. We haven't been there yet.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to chime in? You can on Clint Capella. Is he a pleasant surprise, by the way? I think so, for most people. With our team and what you expected, I don't know if people expect him to be as good as he is, Mike.
Right. Number one, as I said in the interview, number one in rebounds. You know, I mean, there's a guy, and I think you just thought he was kind of like a throw-in from the Rockets, right? And now you realize that he was giving us that rim protection. Now, again, you got to use the right tool for the job. You got to have him in there when guys are taking it to the basket, right, late in the game, coach. But guy's been doing a great job, great team player, bright guy, sharp, fun to talk to. Interviews online, by the way, at 929thegame.com.
Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. New extension for Brian Snicker. Who's going to start the first spring game? We'll get to all of that and more next. Coming up, Hayden Hurst, 3 o'clock. He will stop by the show. We've got our tailgate at home version coming up. It's usually Yeah Man, No Man today at around 3:40. We'll tell you what we got cooking for the weekend. I saw the picture of you and Ike. What is Ike asking for this weekend, Mike?
I believe we're going to get that. I think we're doing tuna tonight. Becky's out there. She's out there getting the provisions, so I'm not sure. It's either going to be like some kind of pork tenderloin, or we're going to do like the tuna with the salt and pepper on it. Like, You know, like you pop, pop, or the sesame seeds. I checked that, Carl. The sesame seeds, the black and white sesame seeds.
Okay.
You know, you throw it in a pan for like about a minute and it would do that.
So like sear the tuna?
Yeah, man. I mean, I like mine a little more seared than she does. But anywho, so yeah, that was a picture earlier today where, again, I'm the worst dog owner in the world. The dog's got his paws on the counter, and that's because I feed him, and I'm terrible. But that's I just love it. I can't say no to the guy. Look at that face.
It's hard. It's hard. GP the Great, that's his Twitter handle. He basically says, Dukes, I think John Collins is next Al Horford. He's better offensively than Horford right now. And he's going to get better. I know Horford, guys, you know, good locker room guy. I've heard it all about Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
Al Horford was just not a star in this league.
No.
And, you know, the problem is we haven't seen this with John. I hope we don't have to. But when Trey is going to be out, right, in situations, who right. is the guy that steps up? And, you know, we haven't seen that, and I hope we don't have to again. But I think John Collins offensively is better than Al Horford is. Horford, great rebounder, great defender. But at the end of the day, when you needed buckets, that's something he just didn't do. He couldn't do it, Mike, especially in the playoffs.
Right, and that's when you're measured. I mean, again, you've got to get your team to the playoffs. Once the light shines bright, we need you to step up your game. And how many nights would you and I say, need this guy to really bring some heat? You know, I really need to get that going. You look for us, you know, in the years we had, like, those big teams, 14.4 in the playoffs, 13.4, 15.1. Yep. Solid, but not more, needed more.
Hey,
you know,
man.
And oh, by the way, you can go and you can look at some of those games, and there's like, you know, 18-4, you know, 22-6, you know what I mean? You need, if you're looking at the game log, that's not what we need. We need a little bit more.
I used to hate that. I mean, I honestly hated seeing that with John, not with John, but with Al Horford. Either way, I think that's a bad comparison, but I understand where you're going and saying, all right, what kind of player ultimately are we getting down the road? I think John will be better offensively. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Chris behind the glass, our engineer. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with Brian Snitker. He gets an extension. If you did not hear, it's going to take him through 2023. The team option for 2024. Mike and I started the show talking about this. And again, stability. It's not a bad thing. And Snicker's not done anything to, you know, raise an eyebrow. As a matter of fact, we're a team coming off the cusp of potentially getting to a World Series. I'm fine with them taking care of our manager. I've already gotten some comments, Mike, from people saying, I don't know, they should have waited until after this season.
Well, I mean, again, guys, I said it earlier, and you tell Chuck Reed he's got his own show. You can talk about that on the air.
His name is – oh, this guy's name is John C. Huh, interesting.
Hey, no, I mean, guys, if you go back and look at it, the guy has first off, he takes over, as we said, with a bunch of minor leaguers. And we thought, okay, you and I, we talked about this back in, what, 16. He might be just the gap guy. You know what I mean? He'd be the guy that, okay, we'll get another competitive man. No, but the Braves were never going to go out of the house to get a manager anyway. I said this to you earlier in the 2 o'clock hour here. That's not their way. So they got a guy who's basically like Bobby Cox Light. That's both good and bad. I think, as you said, Carl, you watch any manager over the course of the season, you're going to be, he pulls the pitchers too soon. You're going to have your arguments. He did not have the base running screw-ups, okay? That was the players. He did not – it's not his fault we didn't have a starting pitcher for an elimination game against the Dodgers. Go back and look at the lineups, the multiple lineups the year we go to the playoffs in 18. Look at all the way he had to handle the pitching in 19 and again this year in the short season. Snitker has done a great job. So they were never going to get anybody else anyway, guys, so it's a pretty smart deal.
Polls up at Dukes and Bell 929 on the Twitter. Are you happy with the Braves extending manager Brian Snitker? Very happy. Right move. Lukewarm. We need a ring. Unhappy. We need a new face. Those are your choices.
Like, again, like I said, this is one where I'm not arguing because if I said anything, we'd have our listeners, well, are you arguing with your own website? I'm not, okay? I'm just saying the guy has won 90 games twice. You know, he inherited a team that was pretty bad. And then has been able to, again, coming up with the minor guys he knew from the minor leagues. He's the perfect manager for the squad. He doesn't do anything. And that's what you really need. In some cases, you know, you can overthink it. We just gave the list of some of the greatest managers of all time. They've got some really bad moments in their history, okay? All of them. La Russa, you know, Leland, Madden, we just talked about. And the Braves are never going to call any of those guys. So we got what we got. He's pretty good. Players have to go out, obviously, and do their job. And the general manager's got to have the wherewithal, Carl, to get better players if you want to go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers.
I agree.
Beyond his pay grade.
I agree. And by the way, don't be an idiot, all right? We put stuff up on social media to interact with you. It doesn't mean that's how we feel, okay?
Right. It's called clickbait, okay?
That's why we have a conversation on the air. Don't be that guy. I don't understand why you would go against what you guys just put up. That's for us to interact with you. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about what Brian Snicker had to say about Austin Riley, because he has a big question, in my opinion, has a big question mark next to his name. What is Austin Riley going to be for us this season? Here's Snit.
Looks good. I mean, he looks like he's in a really good place, and you know, just physically, he looks really good. And just, you know, watching the coach's BP, I mean, it looks like, you know, his swing's working really good. And just kind of talking to him and all, he's in a good place for right now.
Okay. I mean, at bats are like getting the pretty girl. You get it once, you start getting confidence, and you feel like you can do it over and over, and really that's what it is.
Right.
And if you strike out, and you strike out again, and you strike out, and all of a sudden you start thinking, man, am I going to strike out? It's all mental. He has all the tools, Mike. I mean, Austin Riley has all the tools. If he can put it together, this dude can be a real stud.
And we'll see how the extra chipper, because, you know, normally chipper's only there for a little bit in spring training. We'll see if chipper can help him out and unlock what we think is the potential. The thing is, and we talked about this yesterday, there's other guys out there, and they may go, you know, I mean, Chris Bryant will probably be out there, Carl, on the float. The Cubs and him, because of the way they've handled him or mishandled him, he's not happy. He'd be better than what you got with Austin Riley right now. So I don't know if that adds pressure. Some would say, look, I thought last year it was like, hey, it's your job. You got it at third, Austin. Go do your thing, right? That was kind of like the vibe.
It was. It was. Know?
And and he's got to stop striking out. And the strikeouts, you know, he strikes out too much. That's the argument. And he's got to be more disciplined at the plate. But when you see the spurts and you see the moments, you're like, wow, if this guy can just dial it in, then you're set.
Let's hope that's the case. I mean, I think what we've had now, he really didn't play a full season the previous year, 2019.
Right. It's a small sample size.
Yeah, I just, you know, but I'm hoping that he comes on this year. It is Dukes and
it's
Bell.
It's 157 strikeouts in 137 games.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Yeah, I hope he comes on this year. That's why I am curious. I wanted to hear what Snit had to say about Austin Riley. Meanwhile, Lloyd Pierce talking about Trey Young's play as of late, and again, you can even go back to the loss. He played well against Cleveland. We just blew it at the end, but Lloyd was talking about how well Trey's been playing.
Trey's played unbelievable basketball. You know, even last night, he didn't shoot it well. You know, I talked about that today, and I told him, I said, listen, you're playing unbelievable basketball. I sent him a text after the Denver game and told him how, you know, special I think he's playing.
Well, we need that. And, you know, for Trey, I hope he goes on what I like to call a Kobe mission. Kill everybody now. Just destroy everybody you face. Leave no doubt. I'm scoring 35, 40 whenever I feel like it. I'm putting up 15 assists whenever I feel like it. My team's going to win. And I think, Mike, he'll start to get the traction that I think we've kind of missed this season. It's not his fault, but I really believe he was deferring, like you said early on, trying to get everybody happy. Dude, go be you. Go be you.
Right. And I don't think John Collins, based on what Clint Capella is telling us, everybody's got the effort. The contract will work itself out. Because they couldn't come to an agreement before the season, we may have to spend a little bit more money on John. We just had that talk. But Trey, it's his team. He's going to have to just do a better job of finishing. I think that's the only argument this year, Carl, as you said. You know, when you decide to take those shots, you're going to make those shots. That's why, that's part of the reason why you didn't make the All-Star team, I think, in the minds of some folks this year.
So, guys, the Atlanta Dream have been sold, and I mentioned this because people were asking, were we going to mention it? Yes, certainly. We don't talk a lot about the Dream. We're not going to, you know, tell you that as far as on a daily basis, but there was a lot of people in this community who certainly felt like the Dream should have been sold, and so they finally are. So the completion of the sale was announced today, and, you know, I think it's a good move. We'll see where it goes as far as how it moves the franchise forward and what they're able to accomplish. But I do want to mention it as part of our headline segment. Hey, man, Mike Tiger also transferred to Cedars-Sinai. Did you see that?
Yeah, as we said, guys, follow-up surgeries, more work to be done. And obviously the biggest concern now, just obviously the next, you know, couple of weeks, is about infection with all the work that got done after the accident.
All right, man, coming up, Hayden Hurst. tight end for our Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons, that is. If he did that, he'd be a
bad
dude.
You he could dunk. I bet you he could dunk a basketball.
But we'll talk to him about all things in the offseason, how crazy the season was, and we got a new coach. What's that mean for him? It's coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.